shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No!
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you!
Welcome back, Interweb friends.
Most bizarre beginning ever.
We just gotta hang our heads and get through this one, guys. It's almost over. Another Jaws sequel.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say Hollywood makes bad summer movies sometimes, and we make fun of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. To the bank.
Yep.
Alex Dunbar. I'm conducting this podcast.
Yep.
I am here with Cody Wolf.
Pull the pin, man.
The birthday guy, Brian Mueller.
Somebody get my Bodie out here.
Jack Estabrook.
We got to shut the pumps down. That's the best I could think of. I don't know.
They weren't nobody did the one. We'll come up.
We'll
with
say that.
I don't know. There's so nothing I could find on this one.
Do you want to recognize Brian Mueller's birthday yesterday?
We do.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was a momentous event. It was, as he said, the last good birthday. And the first time I've ever wanted to say to a waitress, please stop talking about Atari, which it probably will never happen again in my life.
I gotta say, I don't remember all the conversations at that point of the evening, but...
I was considering telling the waitress I would up her tip if she stopped talking
about
Atari.
She was continuously talking about it?
She would just pop up, like, out of nowhere. She was like a character, like a Mr. Mitzelplick-esque character who just came in and kept referencing Atari games.
How did the subject come up?
She heard us talking about...
Well, it's your own fault.
...about then. Nintendo video games, and that, to her, was just a green light for every Atari reference that she'd been holding on to for 20-plus years.
She mentioned the E.T. landfill?
Amazingly, no! Wow. I know! In fact, that was the one where the E.T. game comes up. I mean, that would be pretty cool. Nope, never came up.
Adventure, though.
For someone that took, 40 minutes to come to our table initially...
Yes.
She hung around a lot.
If we had said early on, like, "Hey, we're talking video games," we would have.
That's
gonna
be the trick. If you ever have a waiter or waitress that's not coming by, just talk. Start talking about, "Hey, Pong."
Yeah,
that's something. Yeah. Did somebody say Pong? Can I take your order?
Yeah, oh. I like it.
All right, so our movie this week is 1984's Jaws 3D.
Three D.
We saw it in. It is. We did not see it in 3D. I don't think any of us saw it in 3D.
No.
Yeah.
I kept forgetting it was in 3D until I did stupid. There's one good one moment that I thought would be cool in 3D, when the rest were just like really dumb.
Yeah.
The one where like the whale jumps out of the water at the camera. I mean, they played it way too long. It's slow motion.
Oh, I thought you were going to say when Lou Gossett Jr. was kicking his legs as he was swimming.
Well, they did a lot of that cool shot.
That was probably a cool shot in 3D. The rest were like really poorly matted, like hands coming, floating in the water at you. And
it was a lot of like what I just referred to as like early 80s 3D, which is like characters. They didn't even do this in the 50s that well. They did in the 50s some, but it made in the 80s 3D movies where people awkwardly like point things right at the screen and you're like, mm-hmm.
Or they just like,
what is he? Oh, this was a 3D movie.
They're just like zooming into statues and holding the shot for way too long. And it reminds me of like Friday 13th Part 3 where like doing yo-yos into the camera and holding, you know.
Yeah. Fishing so lines stupid. Are like,
What was like the deal? Just got on a quick side note here. What was the deal with 3D? Because like it was big in the 80s and then it just like went away for 25 years.
3D has been like a gimmick that keeps kind of rearing its ugly head about every 20 years or so. It was big in the 50s, then it was big in the 80s, and now it was big for the last couple of years
Avatar
recently. And
it's kind of
beginning to fizzle out again.
Well, it's expensive to do. So
it's very expensive to do.
Once it stops being popular, it's like
like once you've seen it once. I mean, the rewatchability of your movie usually goes down. Obviously nowadays they're not as gimmicky about it, but back then they really were. Like that one awkward scene in House of Wax where the guy is hitting a paddle ball at the screen for 20 minutes and it slows the pacing of the movie down.
It feels like 20 minutes. Yeah, like you'd think the guy wouldn't even know how he hit it that many times. I mean, that's the wonder of it.
He's really good at paddle ball.
And we do, in the opening of Jaws 3, we do get like a weird, you can tell it was the effect of a fish head. Because we don't see Jaws.
And you don't really hear much of the Jaws theme either. And there's a little of it, but not much.
Do they play it at all?
In the opening sequence they played it.
Yeah.
That might have been it. Because I remember thinking that, you know, I remember recognizing it and thinking that it was there, because I remember Jaws 4, they didn't use it at all.
There's something with that, because John Williams is credited as credited. that theme is from John Williams, but he didn't do the score. No. So I feel like they were paying him every time they did the Jaws theme, which probably meant like, hey guys, cool it with the Jaws theme, okay? Cool.
Yeah. There was, and during the credits, there was two credits that caught my eye. One of them was suggested by the novel by Peter Benchley. It's just, I've never seen that suggested by the novel. Yeah. The other one was screenplay by Richard Matheson, which really shocked me.
Yes.
I will come up later.
What's he done?
He's the guy who wrote The Last Man on Earth, which is I Am Legend.
He wrote the book that I Am Legend's based on. Most of the best Twilight Zone episodes.
Really?
Richard Matheson episodes.
Pretty big, like, sci-fi horror.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I like the stuff, so when I saw
screenplay
by Richard Matheson.
The story that the Blade Runner is based on is a Richard Matheson story.
No, that's Philip K. Dick.
Oh, Philip K. Dick. I apologize.
Duel. The Steven Spielberg movie Duel. He wrote that one. So we kind of, the beginning of this movie.
I like how terrible this movie is. We're just talking about everything else.
we're delaying the inevitable.
Talking about sci-fi authors.
The beginning of the movie is just a really hodgepodge of what goes on at SeaWorld, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, we find out that there's water skiing. We're kind of introduced to the Leah Thompson character, who is a water skier.
Yeah. And I at this point, I'm thinking she's going to be main character because...
Well, she's featured fairly prominently.
Featured, yeah.
Very, very, they make you think that.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get to see one of my favorite lines in this movie. In fact, I'm amazed nobody did it off the top of the show. When we see the SeaWorld, like, manager talking to new employees about their SeaWorld uniforms at, like, a sort of, like, employee seminar.
Oh, yeah.
And has the great quote, "Show any cheek and you'll be back shoveling French fries," which just seems like, did someone think that up? Like, was that off the cuff? It doesn't sound off the cuff.
No, it doesn't. That's
apparently Dennis Quaid didn't get that memo with the shorts he was wearing.
No, no.
It's like all the other new employees get the line about, oh, shorts shouldn't be too short. Dennis Quaid comes moseying in with like
this. They should.
His
like
balls
this.
Practically hanging out of his shorts.
They are really short.
I know it's the 80s, but this is 3D. Let's cool it.
Yeah. And we see that Louis Gossett Jr. is
overly enthusiastic.
The president of SeaWorld?
He's like the manager, owner, president, inventor. I don't know what he's supposed to be.
He's the philanthropist, designer. I think they call him.
No, there he is.
Yeah. He's something.
He's a philanthropist who owns SeaWorld.
Yeah, he's in charge. I don't know. Like what he was doing.
By philanthropist, someone who runs a multi-million-dollar theme park that's concerned about making a profit. Yes.
This was like the Jurassic Park, a fish park.
Yeah, it really. I was thinking that too.
A control room with like levers and knobs.
Yeah, wasn't this like the exact plot almost of Jurassic World?
It was kind of.
You like bring in a new attraction that's bigger and better than everything else, and then of course it breaks containment.
Of
course,
yeah. Where they got it from?
Yep.
Yeah, and
Jurassic World is total knockoff of Jaws 3.
Jaws 3.
We can bring that 3D.
Well, because we learned
that, gotta remember the D.
SeaWorld is opening a new attraction, which is never fully explained, but it's essentially
it's like
that underwater tunnel.
Yeah, they were explaining, but I really nodded out at this point. I was like, because there's like an endless scene of the guy just like describing the blueprints, basically.
We see the blueprints, but then we never actually see much of this attraction.
Yeah, they show like a shot of under the water at one point, but that was it. And it's like so far in the movie, I was like, oh, that's right, they built the thing underwater.
They really, what I've heard of is Star Trekking it, where they talk a lot about it so that then by the time you actually see it, they don't show you very much because you're like, you've heard enough about it. Yeah. They don't really need to show it to you.
Do you think that maybe this is a budget cost thing? Like maybe the original script was like bigger, like this was supposed to be like a Disney World type thing, and then they didn't have the budget, so they scaled it back and thought to talk about it.
I think they kept the concept, but then they only wanted to build the one tube tunnel. And I think they were like, don't set too much of the movie in that tube tunnel because we've only got the one tube tunnel.
They could have easily just held that little, I guess if you want to call it a press conference thing, just in that tube.
Yes.
Be like, this is it.
Here you go.
It's open tomorrow. Yeah. Come on down.
And it would have
Instead of showing like a scale model, like you said, and then when you actually see it later, it's like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
It's kind of
an hour ago.
Right. And it's kind of a letdown when you see it.
Yeah. By the way,
and it doesn't even work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As all of us are people who regularly attend press conferences, I really enjoyed the end of this where like some reporter asks Louis Gossett Jr. like a tough question, and he's like, "Hey, you know what the answer is? Drinks at the bar, and they're free." And everyone's like, "Oh,
hey!" The press corps goes.
We don't have any deadlines.
If Louis Gossett Jr. offers you a drink on the job and says it's free, are you gonna take that drink? I think
the news is the one business where the line "It's 5 o'clock somewhere" means like you should be working.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because when I was watching that scene, it did pop in my head. Like, I don't think I was ever offered a beer at a press conference or anywhere in the job as a photographer.
There's kind of a moment, if anybody watches this again, where one of the extras who's playing a TV photographer is kind of like, huh? Like, that's look in his face of total, like,
because
oh,
that
no.
guy, yeah. that guy did his research, yeah. and for that one scene, he acted his ass off, and whoever you are out there, I appreciate that.
He's I also good. Like the one wayward cameraman in that shot, where he's, like, behind Louis Gossett Jr. yeah. shooting him, like, what the fuck are you getting?
Well, he needed a reversal shot.
They're shooting on film.
That's
not like,
really the back
away.
Of Louis Gossett Jr.'s head yeah. for B-roll. Yeah.
This is one of those things we're going to always critique when they do bad news conferences.
Oh, yeah,
movie. So yep. this needed to get dissected.
Yeah, I'm sure the reporter was just like, "Oh, we already got this out. Just get a beer.
Let's just get some drinks.
Yeah,
let's go. You know, forget it. We'll get the we'll reshoot the interview after we've had a few. It'll be a lot more enthusiastic and energetic. Let's just do it.
And we also meet somewhere in here a character who I am still not confident I understand who he is. Philip Fitzroyce, I think that's his name.
Is that?
Wait, that's the Crocodile Dundee guy.
He's kind of like, is he supposed to be
I caught calling the English Aaron Eckhart.
Yes.
I was thinking that too. I'm like, is that like Aaron Eckhart? But like, he'd have to be like five.
I did the math too. I'm like, it looks just like, but no, he'd be way too
I call there. Him time traveling Aaron Eckhart in my notes. Yeah. I think he is, I'll say this, Wikipedia just credits him as Louis Gossett Jr.'s character's friend. That's how they describe
him. He's
them.
Talking him up like he's some kind of big like adventure, or like he's bringing Jacques Cousteau in.
I didn't know. They said it at one point, but I don't know. It was like he was like, I don't know.
I feel
I
like
thought
he
at first he was like
of,
an investor, or he was somehow involved
like
with,
a Steve Irwin almost.
Oh, yeah, like a Steve Irwin
like,
type.
He's like a Steve Irwin guy who also takes still photographs.
And is very concerned with
and
news
like,
coverage.
Very interested in news
like
coverage.
He wants to bring publicity
but
down.
But he doesn't
like a ton of bricks.
Work for SeaWorld. Right?
No.
I don't know what he's doing there. Really he's just sure. taking pictures and video.
And he's around.
And it's two guys.
And people just are like okay with this.
And
I guess he's like a freelance Steve Irwin.
I guess. Yeah.
He's like a consultant, maybe.
I kept thinking all the way through the movie, I'm like, they'll clear up what his role is. They never do. They never make it clear.
And the funny
they
thing,
have to tell us at some point.
Yeah.
And the funny thing too is the way they set up his character, like you think he's going to be like the asshole of the movie.
Yeah.
Who's just worried about himself. And it turns out he's the only one generally who's like willing to stick his neck on the line and like help people.
Yeah. You could make a case that he is
the hero of the movie.
The hero of the movie.
Easily.
And they set him up as a complete villain in the beginning.
Yeah, they're like, oh, look at Mr. Fitzroy decided to grace us with his presence.
Yeah, because everyone's like, this guy.
Oh, that guy. The guy that's going to end up saving the day.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do
it.
Wasn't
even like one of those things where Dennis like Quaid's he's an asshole the whole movie, and then like, all right, he really does have a good heart at the
right.
end. He
yeah.
he sacrifices himself. It's like instantly he's like a really good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's pretty much like he doesn't really change. He's like, hey, I've actually been a decent guy. I don't know if you guys.
I don't know why everyone hates me so much over here.
Yeah,
is it because I'm British?
Solid.
And I have my like I think Australian friend with me. Is he Australian?
I don't know. He mentioned Australia at one point, but I don't know.
The friend is really good friends with him, as we find
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
I was confused at that point.
I'm thinking the friend is... Well, yeah, it is confusing because in a later scene, Fitzroy asked Dennis Quaid's girlfriend out on a date.
Yeah.
But then Fitzroy's helper seems to like really care about him.
Yeah. Very much, yeah.
I can't wait to get that.
Maybe it's some bizarre love triangle.
Maybe. So, and it's we're kind of skipping around. At some point, a guy who is, there's a underwater gate, because SeaWorld has fresh water coming in, and they have a gate. So, somehow, I think a shark broke the gate. This is all very hard to determine.
This is confusing, yeah, because they make it look like the area that the gate is protecting is very small.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, other times, it seems like it's infinite, because, like, we find out later, there's, like, been a shark in that area the entire time. It's like
a massive, like a 30
foot. It looks like the size of like a big pool.
Yeah.
And yet, yeah, it's treated like they have a whole ocean in their backyard, like within containment.
Right. Yeah. And they send this guy down to check on the gate, and he gets eaten.
And then his arm, oh my God. Well, his arm 3D flies towards the screen.
I love that. First, he's like fixing the gate, and then he like looks behind him very dramatically, like, ah! And like at this point, like, I'm not even thinking that anything's like coming after him.
Yeah.
It's like a very weird, like, ah! And there's nothing there. And then he like keeps working, and he's like, ah! Again. And then
there's nothing. There's so many of those.
Yeah. And then the shark's there. It's like, ah!
Yeah, and it's like the fifth one.
It's like, it's like he's what do they call that? Like a false start. Like jump scare. Oh, wait,
it's like
no,
the
it's
cat scare in like a Halloween movie. But imagine if like five different times a guy turned around and it was a cat. Yeah. You'd be like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, every time he's just like flounders swimming around.
His girlfriend is played by a slightly more haggard Olivia Newton-John knockoff, I think.
I think so.
Who is a waitress at SeaWorld.
Maybe.
At
a restaurant in...
Or just a restaurant.
Town, I think.
But there's like a bar in town where everyone goes, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And, okay, so in this, we also then meet, I thought this waitress character was also a main character who is not. We do meet the Brody brothers.
Yeah.
From the first movie. Yep.
Sean comes to visit, and they're like, oh, let's go out to the bar. So they go out to the bar.
Yes.
And Sean... He sees this bar game going on, which I've never even heard of.
What
it's
is
like
this
a thing.
Bar game?
It's like, they called it. Called? It's like stand your
was
ground.
It standoff.
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 But they just lean into
where
each
just,
other.
Just like push each other until one falls over.
It's like a sumo match.
Yeah.
This felt like a very Florida moment to me.
And apparently,
well, he sees
and
it.
Apparently, the younger brother is the best standoff.
Yeah, he sees it. He gets,
the East Coast.
He gets all excited.
Hey, they're playing standoff.
Yeah, I'm the best player on the East Coast and the Western states. Is like I've never heard of this.
Yeah, you outweigh Leah Thompson by about 150 pounds. I would hope you're gonna be
I
able
was
to keep
confused
your balance.
By
do they know her? She acts like she knows him.
No,
I don't think so.
She's just a tramp.
Okay.
Yeah. She's just of loose morals, as we find out.
What is the game exactly? You
just like,
lean against each other and then you just
you
one person
just,
pushes?
I don't know if they're like standing on their tiptoes or something, because they never show their feet. They're just kind of like leaning into each other and then like let go
and then he says that his own fly is down and she looks and that's how he gets the better of her and knocks her over. Now wouldn't she say that to him, your fly is down, huh? And then he'd fall over and like she would win.
Well, why does
or
he
why doesn't he say your
drawing,
fly is
he's
down
he's drawing attention to his own private jack
because he wants to get in that I guess. But
jack,
he's got
he
her,
so much
got
to
her,
learn.
He's got her
dumb.
Mind going on his
and
Johnson.
And so
yes,
while
his wiener.
So while Sean Brody, what's the Dennis Quaid Brody's name?
Michael.
Okay,
Michael Brody.
And Dennis Quaid is Michael Brody, who's the slightly
older,
brother.
Yes.
Who is dating a marine biologist slash just all around scientist
and a dolphin expert? I guess works
and
at
a dolphin expert. Yeah. And
is that anyone here a marine biologist?
Yeah.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. So they're all hanging around this bar, and meanwhile, the most confusing thing in the movie goes on.
What?
I'm two still guys. Confused by standoff.
Yes. Oh, well, standoff is maybe
well, we'll move on.
We're not even going to get into the double elimination.
Oh, yeah, this thing I had no idea.
Two guys start breaking into SeaWorld.
Like they have this inflatable raft and they're like doing something shady.
They're dressed
what
all
are
in
they
black.
Doing?
Like their faces are actually painted black.
And they're
which,
like,
by the way, really not cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's not cool. Like, I'm not a fan of blackface, even in my Jaws movies. But so they're breaking into SeaWorld. They've got this inflatable raft. They go out onto the what are they stealing?
Coral.
Is that what they said? I thought they said that.
They said the good coral's down here. We could get $200 for it.
That's
now are they gonna get killed by the shark?
Dumb. That is the dumbest thing.
I don't even get why they needed this.
We've already
established there's a shark there.
We've already said someone's been killed.
Right.
Like, someone's been killed. We know there's a shark, and it's just this scene, these guys are never found. Their families are probably
completely
to this
irrelevant.
Day or like, what happened? They went looking for coral. We never saw them again.
Yeah, I really don't even remember what happened to them.
Did they get
attacked?
I don't remember the attack
either. The one guy went down to get coral and he got eaten.
Okay.
And then I think the other guy was like looking, and the shark tipped over the raft, and then the raft just got eaten.
I totally forgot about
it. And in order to clean things up, the shark was also like, because these characters are unimportant. I gotta pop that raft, because if people see that raft floating around, they're gonna know.
I can't leave any trace. That was baffling why that was in there.
Yeah, strange.
I don't know.
Intercut with scenes with Dennis Quaid and his girlfriend being like, are we moving to Venezuela? Are you going to Venezuela? Am I going to Venezuela? Like, it was
who's not, going to Venezuela? Yeah,
it was. I didn't understand any of this.
Where is Venezuela?
I have all these notes like, who is going to Venezuela? I don't understand.
I don't think they figured it out.
I really don't. There's a great scene about that towards the end.
It's another...
Meanwhile,
now, I thought that this was going to happen because they talk up a big game about the younger Brody brother's afraid of water because of his traumatic experiences in Jaws 1 and 2. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So now Leah Thompson is trying to coax him into swimming. She's stripped down to barely anything and she wants to go swimming with him. And he's like, I don't know. But he wants to get laid. So he's gonna make the risk and go swimming. Now, I thought that they were going to use this as some dramatic leverage and have the younger Brody brother get eaten by the shark. And Michael wouldn't be able to save him, and that would be the second and third kill of the movie instead of these two bumbling idiots who are looking for coral.
That actually would have, as usual with a lot of Jack's suggestions, that would have been better than what we get in the movie.
I'm telling you, we should have a segment at the end of the podcast where Jack can just say, this is what would make a better
this
movie.
This would
make
it better. So
no, it doesn't happen. Because they build it up, right? She's like, come on, get in the water. And she's like all alone, surrounded by the water. And he's like, I don't know, I'm scared of the water. And she's like, oh, you chicken or whatever. And she finally, okay. And he strips down.
You actually see in his eyes, he's like, I'm really afraid of the water, but she is pretty hot.
Yeah.
I mean, that math is going on. That was good acting.
Yeah. Well, I get the feeling with this movie. And I think it was kind of the same in Jaws 4, too, where they're kind of afraid to kill any of their main characters.
Yes.
Like you would in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like they bring in like these outside characters to kill, and then it's like your main characters. One gets like a scratch on her leg from a, you know, a tooth, but that's it. And it's
is it a
like
scratch?
They don't want to kill anybody.
Well, I didn't think it broke the skin.
Well, she had like a gash on her leg. The shark should have killed her. Yeah. Should have eaten her. And Jaws, it would have eaten her.
Well, so then Sean Brody overcomes his phobia of being in the water and a traumatic event. Goes in the water, and now Dennis Quaid and his girlfriend show up at the beach, and they're like, and Dennis Quaid's like, whoa, my brother's like in the water. He hasn't gotten in the water forever, and my brother's making out with Leah Thompson, and I think they're about to get it on. I should totally ruin this moment for them, which is what Dennis Quaid does. Such a jerk.
If he had seen what they were doing in the water, that was some awkward kissing in that scene. I might have broken that up too.
This is probably shot like October, so that water's probably like 40 degrees or something. They're probably cold.
So he gets on like a convenient bullhorn.
Don't you excuse them, Jack.
I know. I think it was in the car, in the Jeep.
He just travels.
He randomly
has
a bullhorn, yeah.
And they start being like, hey, you kids, we're on to you.
We're the Coast Guard. You know. Get out of the water.
And then they come out and then they're like, oh, it's my brother, Michael.
They start very awkward, like, tackling.
Very
he's in his underwear.
Very Solar Babies-esque water play.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Them, like, splashing around.
There's a lot of this in the 80s movies, like, weird, like, guys wrestling on the ground.
Like awkward bromance-y type stuff.
Which I'm, at first, like, how is Sean not like, hey, thanks for C-blocking me, Michael. Which we then actually do get a scene where he's like, seriously, dude, you just really screwed that up.
Yeah, he's like, admit that you messed me up.
That's really not cool.
Nope. And that's like the next morning, and too. Then we so don't he see waited the... all night before he brought that out on him.
Yeah. Then we don't see the brother for an hour.
About an hour?
Yeah, at one point I was like, did Sean go home? Did he go back to Colorado? Yeah.
It turns out he didn't get over his phobia.
And this water phobia thing doesn't really come back.
Not really.
Because they mentioned he went to school in Colorado because of his water phobia.
It does come back, but as a punchline for some goofy gags in the bumper car section, which is like
the bumper boats.
Way to really undermine your one serious like storyline.
I feel like they only did it just to be like, oh, hey, remember these are the kids from the first movie?
Yeah, remember the
water because they saw sharks before. Yeah, like basically it.
Yeah.
And this movie has a wacky subplot of the Olivia Newton-John waitress. Who's looking for her boyfriend? Who's the guy who was
floated towards our 3D vision?
Yeah, towards the when he was looking at the underwater gate.
Yep.
And she keeps coming up to Dennis Quaid and being like, "What's going on with my boyfriend?" Because I guess Dennis Quaid is his supervisor.
Do they never call the police at any point?
I don't think so.
The guy's been missing for like 3 days.
But
she's great taking care of it. He's probably just sleeping off a hangover.
He keeps saying that, and yeah. I'm like, this is
a one hell of a hangover.
Because based on what I'm seeing in this movie, this is at least 2 or 3 days.
At least.
He might be in a coma.
And, well, but, like at one point, they're like, when the second time the girlfriend comes up and is all concerned and like throws his like her boyfriend's stuff at him. Yeah. And he's like, oh, don't worry, you know, we'll look for him. He's probably just sleeping one over. And then, like, he goes to his girlfriend after, like, all right, let's check the lagoon. let's check for his body.
He's like, I do not think he is sweeping this off. And in that scene when she throws the bag at Dennis Quaid, she has the best line in the movie. And she's like, hey, if you find Billy, tell him to take a flying leap off a rolling donut on a gravel driveway. What does that mean?
Dennis Quaid is like, wait, can you repeat that?
What does that
take a
mean?
Flying leap off a gravel? Wait,
off
what?
A rolling donut on a gravel driveway. I couldn't even decipher what that meant. But Dennis Quaid's like, oh,
I'll take that down for him. I'll let him know when we find his body floating.
Yeah.
I'll let him know that.
Yeah, when we start scanning the bottom, where he probably won't be alive after 3 days.
Is that another like bizarre like reference to like some old like turn of the century joke? Like the
I was actually thinking that I was gonna text it to you and have you research it in the old timey joke department.
Yeah, no, don't think so.
The old donut on a gravel road gag.
Yeah,
classic in the 1890s.
Yeah. So they get Dennis Quaid and his girlfriend get into this mini sub. Which, based on the music, you would think we're seeing the Enterprise from Star Trek.
Yeah, I thought this suddenly became like a sci-fi movie.
They spent all their money on this.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't even sure if this was supposed to take place like maybe a little bit in the future. Because the last time I saw this movie, I was fairly, no. You never know that fashion could come back.
Yeah.
When I remember seeing this when I was younger, and I remember the things that stood out the most were like all the control room stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, this kind of looks like that's trying to be the future. And you know, like the Brody boys are just a little older. So were they trying to say that this was like not the distant future, like maybe this is a 1983 movie about 1990, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't see why it would be, but I don't know.
That would I could see that, you know.
But this thing looked like it was from like 1996
or whatever.
Like 100 years from now.
Yeah, it looked like a James Bond lair.
It was very this was very James Bond. Yeah.
The control room looked like what people in like the 1950s would think a control room looks like now. Yeah. Just like these massive computers,
bright lights and buttons,
giant tape decks and all this
switches.
Stuff.
Yeah. And big windows.
Yeah,
big huge windows. Yeah.
It's like this is SeaWorld we're talking about, right? Like
oh, yeah.
Is there some weird master control room at SeaWorld when you go?
Well, I feel like this movie, all the way through this movie, I'm like, why did SeaWorld agree to this? This movie is worse for them than that Blackfish documentary was.
Well, I was even thinking that later when they're talking about like killing the shark. I'm like, boy, I bet looking back, SeaWorld's like, yeah, let's not talk about killing the fish in our park.
SeaWorld also has like SeaWorld guests get trapped and almost die. I'm like,
I know.
Maybe they secretly financed Blackfish to take attention away from Jaws 3.
Take attention off of Jaws 3. So Dennis Quaid and his girlfriend are going into the bottom of this little mini sub to see if the body of the guy who Dennis Quaid keeps saying is alive is down there.
And that's what Larry always does. He likes to sink to the bottom and sleep one off.
I said no overtime, Larry.
Get out of the water. What are we paying you for?
And at one point, there's a jump scare when they go by a skeleton in the mini sub.
Is this like a pirate skeleton? What the hell was this?
Is this an actual shipwreck?
No. Dennis Quaid later explains, not only is this goofy, but even tourists can't see the skeleton. It only exists apparently to scare workers.
That's what I thought. It was
a movie here right there. Yeah.
I thought it actually was a shipwreck. That's like a
like a Goonies thing.
Well, there is a shipwreck down there, but it's like a Disney shipwreck. Like it's a prop shipwreck, but the skeleton they're looking at is on the side that tourists can't see. Because that's why his girlfriend is like, whoa.
Well, yeah.
And he's like, just kidding you.
And they hold on the shot of the skeleton for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
About second.
I think that was
like,
probably because
there
was
the 3D.
Yeah.
Thing. Yep.
Yeah. I keep forgetting until I see stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why they're doing
that. Must have been amazing to see in 3D.
I'm sure everyone in the theater was blown away.
And We mentioned Dennis Quaid's girlfriend is the dolphin trainer.
Yeah, she is.
So the dolphins start hanging around, and they're really...
Not the Miami Dolphins.
Not the Miami Dolphins. No, this
is... I was going to say, you got your Miami Dolphin...
Put the
helmet
back there?
This, this movie took place before December. The dolphins hadn't collapsed yet.
Ouch.
They were still feeling good about themselves. Yeah.
They were still a vital part of the team.
This was 84, though. That's when the dolphins are good. I'm just saying.
That's right. And the dolphins are hanging around really lassieing up this situation, trying to warn the humans of trouble. Weird. And Dennis Quaid and his girlfriend are like, oh, the dolphins are trying to tell us something. It's probably not important.
What's that, boy? Yeah. Trouble?
Yeah, trouble? What?
And trouble at the mill?
A huge...
Trouble at SeaWorld, boy?
Well, it's not really a huge shark. Is this the huge shark?
No, this is the little shark.
There's two sharks in this movie.
Okay.
Mommy and
but
baby.
They never really... distinguish within the scenes, like the sharks look the same size.
Well, yeah, like which shark is doing what kills.
But then they
really
later
say.
Tell us that one of them is so small that characters can almost actually characters do hold it in their arms.
Yeah, it's like smaller than the dolphins are, I think.
Yeah,
about the same size as the dolphins.
And the
but in that scene where there's this scene here, the shark looks
huge.
Yeah, as big as the one later in the
right.
Movie.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, because this one is like ramming into like rams into the gate or whatever or into the. They're like, close the gate. After the
yeah,
I think you're right. But yeah, but then they later on are like literally just like walking around with it.
No, I think that was the big shark that rammed the gate.
Okay. I didn't know until halfway through that there were two sharks.
That I was very
confused. Then I was looking back going, wait, so what shark was that?
Which shark killed who?
And they end up riding the dolphins to safety.
Literally.
Well, at first, the dolphin trainers is underwater and the shark's coming out. She's like, ah! And then the dolphin comes swimming in front of her. And it's like triumphant music, and yeah, she grabs it. It's like it's so freaking ridiculous.
This is pretty silly looking overall. This is some real flipper stuff going on here. And
but I mean the only saving grace I can say about that stuff is they use real dolphins, and they had people interacting with the real dolphins. Because when you see the shark, it's like so freaking bad.
Yeah,
that it's like nice to see some actual like.
I feel like there was somewhere in here there was a decision of like, you know what we should do? Speed up the shark footage. And the editors heard that. They're like, they just said speed up all the shark footage. Every shot is like super sped up.
This part later on it's like,
well, they later, well, yeah, that's, yeah, I know the one you're thinking of, and it's really slow.
The whole half hour, the last half hour of it.
So they get out, they escape, and Dennis Quaid is talking.
He's freaking out.
I don't know. He's freaking out. There's a great scene. Did you see the armpit?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that felt so real. And they're like,
what's what he gets for
armpits?
Wearing shirts that are like so tight, they're like pressing against his skin like that. Yeah. It's like a second skin.
This was like Under Armour before there was Under Armour, but it's not wicking.
It's like, just Dennis Quaid, wearing such tight fitting clothing.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
So 30 years ago, Aaron Eckhart is like, I got this. And he's ready to like...
I love what he tried to do.
This was bizarre.
British accent.
It's kind of a Brit Australian.
I don't know what it is.
It's Australian.
I got this.
Hey, governor.
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting that he says, we kill the shark to bring publicity to the park.
Yeah, it's like, if
and
we kill
she's
it on
like,
camera.
And she said, he says, kill it on camera. Literally, he says that line.
Yeah.
And then she says, no. Capture it. Imagine great white shark in captivity would be the only sea park in the world that has that. And Louis Gossett Jr. is still thinking, he doesn't.
He's like
register
weighing the two offers
actually having the shark in the park is going to, in the long run, cost him more, earn him more money, and it would make. Well, it would be more believable that a sea park would be concerned about protecting all forms of sea life.
Yeah.
Instead of, let's just mess with the shark, and then when we get bitten, we'll be like, well, F you, shark, like this other guy's like, kill it, and we'll get our money. The footage of it getting killed. He wants to make like a shark snuff film.
Ultimately, Louis Gossett Jr. tells Harvey Dent, like, hey, no grenades, dude. And he's like, all right.
Of course, it has to be a grenade. Because how you kill a shark.
That's why not knowing was it Fitzroy or whatever his name is?
Yeah,
His character, Aaron, I will just call him Aaron Eckhart. Aaron Eckhart's job makes it so confusing. It's like, what is this shark? Like, where is this footage of killing a shark going?
I don't know.
The local news going to be like, and next, SeaWorld kills a shark?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's what his plan. I think he wanted to get the shark in a room and have a press conference and cut the shark.
But don't they? Doesn't SeaWorld, like, I know this was like before, you know, 30 years before SeaWorld came under fire with all this stuff, but like, it doesn't look good for a park that specializes in marine life to kill something that lives in the water that's not necessarily like.
I think this,
doing something bad. Like, I think, yeah, I killed that one guy.
I think that Fitzroy's character is supposed to be like Jacques Cousteau meets the Punisher. You know? He's like taking out a vendetta on like the SeaWorld. Because he doesn't really seem interested in fish unless we're talking about killing them. Yes. And if killing them and filming him right. killing them. Which seems like, so I don't know why he's hanging out at SeaWorld.
Is he trying to like sell himself as like a big game hunter maybe, and it's for his own advantage?
I think.
What did he think, like SeaWorld was just a place where you kill dolphins and whales and sharks? Like, yeah. Why so is he here?
They're all in captivity. I don't know what he's even doing
He goes
there.
From taking pictures of like the dolphins jumping up to like wanting to kill sharks. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Okay. Oh, right, this might be breaking. Can I kill some sharks?
Yeah. Yes.
And meanwhile,
that should have been Jason Statham's role.
It should have been. There's
a dialogue scene that is so out of focus around this point. Yeah.
The guy in the background is in focus.
I had a headache during it, and I don't know if you can chalk that up to the 3D or if it was just out of focus. I'm not sure.
It has to be a 3D
How
camera.
Could that pass in Hollywood, that a shot that bad?
I get. I'm wondering if they. I don't know.
I like their best.
Well,
team.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I did notice that too. I was like, geez, because it's Dennis Quaid and the English guy talking.
Yes.
And then the other English guy's in the background.
The English guy's
just like he's just like taking his scuba gear off or something, and like he's in perfectly in focus.
He's in like the back left corner of the screen in perfect focus, and Dennis Quaid is as blurry as an Atari game.
Out,
yeah.
There's that Atari
nice
game.
See what he did there. Out of here.
See what he did there.
Yeah.
Now the waitress is gonna come.
I don't need a refill. So they go out. The goal. I have a lot of questions they as go, to what they, this plan was.
They this was confusing.
This whole scene, I didn't know what they were
They're
doing.
They're trying to capture the shark, and I guess
I was surprised when they had it in captivity. I'm like, oh, they captured it.
Because
I didn't know what they were doing.
Because again, you don't know that there's two sharks yet, so you're like, what?
Well, there's all this talk of Trevor Fitzroy and the girlfriend have one dart gun, and then Dennis Quaid has a crossbow.
Yeah, which is in just, I think, like every 80s 3D movie has a crossbow.
That's, you know what? That's probably what it was. They were just like, we need a crossbow.
Or like
shot.
A, what do you call it?
A bow and arrow. A harpoon or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like racing to catch the shark, right? Because isn't the one team want to kill it, right? And the other team is going to capture it? Or did they agree on just capturing it?
No, I think they're both trying to capture it. Because they both successfully get their darts into the shark. Although there's a hilarious moment when Dennis Quaid's crossbow misfires. Yeah. We were like, dude, did you not check this?
God damn it! Yeah. Piece of junk.
Amps up the tension.
And somehow they capture the shark. Like Cody said, there's just a moment where you see the shark in the net and you're
like, oh, they got him.
I guess they got him. Okay.
And that's it?
Well, Fitzroy once again saves the day when the shark tries eating Dennis Quaid's girlfriend, and once again he's the only one like in the water helping.
Yeah,
yeah. And meanwhile, all they're doing is busking. They're like, "Hey, nice and loud wetsuit English guy," you know.
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, I like it."
I can't decide if I like Alex's British accent more or Jack's.
Oh, you gotta go. Jack's is more.
Well, I don't know
Statham's
which one to talk.
Alex
I,
is
now
more.
I'm gonna try to bring him
out. Well, Jason Statham's the best.
I'm trying to bring him out.
Has anyone here ever seen a movie where a character wearing clothes spends more time in the water than Dennis Quaid in this movie? He's constantly in the water.
Constantly jumps in the water with his clothes.
With all of his clothes on. To the point where you'd like, say whatever. Dennis Quaid, like, you should probably just be
you know
in
what?
Trunks.
Maybe that wasn't sweat under his armpits. Maybe he was just still drying off, mid-drying off
from
previous
take. That was the last part that dried off.
Yeah.
And there are so many people. We also start at this point in the movie. I don't know if you guys noticed this. There's so many people, like people in the control room, and the way the shots are framed, I'm like, well, I guess that's a character, but some of them are not characters. Some of them don't have lines. They're just people who are the focal point of shots, but don't do anything.
It looks like they're manning like a spaceship in there.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, is this the future?
Yeah,
like
I have to say that this movie has some awesome extras. There's one guy later on who I might buy the movie just for this extra.
Is it the guy in the bumper boats who's like
the, no.
Okay,
because the guy in the tunnel
he's a fantastic extra. Oh, I know who
the
you
guy
mean.
In the tunnel,
I know who you mean. Yes, Well, the, all of the tunnel
extras. Yeah, all the tunnel there's people. One, look like they might have been at SeaWorld the day they were shooting and just said, can you stand in this room and let us flood it halfway up and I should capture your reactions?
So now Louis Gossett Jr. and SeaWorld open up this tunnel, these underwater like glass tunnel things, which is the new attraction, which guests seem so unaware of this amazing attraction opening that they have to have two SeaWorld employees like carnival barkering to like get people in. And people seem totally unaware, like, what is this? Like, people wouldn't be like, whoa.
They didn't watch the there's press some, conference because everyone was busy getting drunk, so the press conference never happened.
Yeah, there was only one sot to use, so they didn't get the word out.
And the sot was, let's get drinks.
They're free!
And what date is the park open? Who cares about that? Who wants a martini? On me.
Yeah. I do love all the shots in the tunnel, though, because it's like so such bad like CG, or not CG, like green screen stuff. It's
so bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a...
This is the worst, I'm trying to think of like a term that like a layman's term, it's keying or they're matting stuff, but they're
it's
doing
like
it
the printing, so optical printing,
1940s
yeah.
level matting.
Well, at the one point when the boat was going through the water, it like turns and the bottom of the boat disappears.
This is this is what I noticed every time a shot that was designed for 3D, you get it on the arm. Right, you get it on the shark coming towards the window at the end. You get it on the boat, which part of it disappears. This is like the object that's supposed to be in 3D is surrounded by like a black outline.
Yeah.
And it's just, well,
it's
like,
just like matted in.
It's like matted in so terribly. Like by college students.
Wait, it reminded me. I have a note here where I'm like, it's a literal mat in that it has like an edge around it. Where you're like, yep, there's where it's matted in.
Yeah.
So you start to see, I don't know, there's like, they establish the tourists are walking through the glass tunnels, and now the shark they captured is Louis Gossett Jr. Yeah, hey, get that shark so that guests can be seeing it.
Yeah, which is the whole point of catching it in the first place, I don't know
which is the whole point, but like Dennis Quaid and Dennis Quaid's girlfriend are like, what?
Yeah.
That shark is on display, and they go running up to where the shark is on display. I'm very confused by this too.
And then all of a sudden, like, the shark is there, but it's what like were they convulsing or something? It's like dying.
Yeah.
And then they jump in the water.
Yeah.
Quaid with clothes on.
Yep.
Quaid. And then they have to what?
I don't.
They're like helping the shark.
Hose down its throat.
They were sticking a hose down its throat, and then like
it just goes belly up.
Look at our.
Oh wait, no.
I think it literally just goes belly up.
The scene where Quaid gets in the water is before when they're like in the tub with the
shark. Oh, when they first catch it.
Yeah. And then the second time, just the marine biologist lady goes in.
Oh, okay. And like some other guy.
Okay. Which he hears Louis Gossett Jr. ordered the shark to be put on display.
Which you have to be like really listening to know what's going on, because like super in the background, like the announcements, like she's just feeding the dolphins or whatever, and it's like in the background, very low, you hear like, and now there's a shark display over here.
What?
And she's like, whoa.
Shark?
Shark?
What?
What? If you're not listening to the background, like, voiceover audio, is like you don't know what's going on. She's just
starts, I don't even get like what were they do, like the scene before when they're like doing whatever with the shark, they have a hose up its mouth and they,
oh yeah,
like,
that's right,
and
it tries to bite them, that's
yeah,
right,
and then it tries
now
to bite them, and yeah, like, what were they doing with the shark?
I don't understand,
like the only time they could control sharks, it was when they sedated it.
Yeah,
so what were they gonna, and the pool they had it in,
it's too small.
The pool they had it in was like one of those pools you go to the zoo and you can paint, you can pet like the stingrays and stuff.
Yes.
But the pool is like waist level.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So if anyone like, unless you wanted to see the shark sedated where it's like, for all intents and purposes, dead.
Yeah.
If once the display went in full effect and the shark wasn't sedated anymore, it could just like hop out and eat.
Oh,
someone right there. Yeah, like, what was the plan?
Yeah, anybody could have fallen in. Also, well, I was also going to say, this is a shark. It's in very tiny little shallow water pool. Like, I'm not a marine biologist. And I'd be like, I don't think that's good for a shark. You know, he can't
well,
even
Louis
turn
Gossett Jr. isn't a marine biologist either, so.
I'm just here to make money. Yeah.
And free drinks.
Just put it in that kiddie pool over there.
Yeah.
That's free.
We got a spare above ground pool.
Yeah, it looks like where they stored like the minnows before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't get what the plan was with the shark. Like, what were they going to like train it to not eat people? Like,
I don't
take her teeth out.
She didn't think this through when she suggested they capture
no
this
petting.
Thing.
Yeah. You know.
And then why did the shark just like die?
I don't. Why did the shark die?
I really don't.
Because it was not allowed to be free.
Well, because in the tub or in the other pool earlier, they're like putting a hose in its mouth, and I don't know what they're doing to it.
Why doesn't he have a hose in his mouth? All it was sedated.
This is another great opportunity.
Maybe they put it in fresh water instead of salt water.
They could have put a ham-handed message in here about humans tampering with things they don't understand. Like this time, like the shark is justified because they kidnapped the shark's baby and then hold it hostage, and then it dies. And then Mother Shark comes and eats everyone. Like, they brought this on themselves. Like, that's like old school 50s sci-fi logic right there.
I feel like that probably was in a script draft. Like, that was kind of the message, which is very much lost in this
movie. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny, too, because I thought for a time when the marine biologist lady first jumps in there and the shark's literally, like, just floating belly up. I thought, because she, like, turns the shark down again, I thought they were going to make it look like it was still alive. Everything's okay, folks. Yeah. Mr. Shark's still okay. Look at him swimming.
Or I thought that baby shark was going to be like, chomp, 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 chomp. He was like, gotcha.
He was playing possum.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they let the shark go and it just floats belly up. Like the customers of SeaWorld are watching this shark die in front of their face.
It's like when you're talking to little kids, you're like, no, the shark's just taking a nap. Yeah, no, don't touch him. He's taking a nap.
Time for everyone to go. Mr. Shark needs to sleep.
Basically, the whole time, this whole movie, people are like telling one person someone's okay, and then behind their back being like, yeah,
get the body bag. We got to clean this up.
One of my next favorite scene is, so we cut to the glass tunnels where the tourists are walking around, and the body of the guy who's been missing, the guy who's supposedly hung over, comes floating, the face comes floating right up to glass. A window,
yeah.
And there is a hilarious scene. I think everyone saw it. The face comes up to a window, and for some reason, a tourist face is also right up in the window. And she's like screaming.
Everyone goes in a panic. Yeah, this lady's face gets pressed up.
She gets pushed up by a guy. She's like, ah! Her face is like,
her like one eyeball is like pressed against the screen.
Yeah.
That should be the still.
I don't know why she did that.
I don't know. Why was everyone like, I know it's like unsettling to see like a human head floating, but I feel like if I was like at a sea park and I saw that, I wouldn't like go in a panic and start like pushing people against the wall. Yeah. Oh, we gotta get out of here.
That dead guy might kill us.
At least they should be, hey, let me, why are you pushing me closer?
Like, I don't think people need to panic. Like, it's unsettling.
Yeah. Well, also, in a park that uses just skeletons just for jokes, you might be like, well, that's all right. That's creepy.
You guys are upping your game here. That's a pretty good effect.
At the end of this, when we get to the end of the movie and we've discussed everything, I want us to go back and make a list. If you were like a customer at SeaWorld that day, I want to make a list of all of the things that you would have seen at the park that day and figure out how many lawsuits there would have been after everything that happened at SeaWorld this one day.
Well, my next favorite part comes up when Dennis Quaid, but they figure out that the shark that died, did they go underwater again? Is that how they found out? Like, they get almost attacked again? I can't remember what happens.
No, they find the body.
Oh, they find the body. Okay, yeah. So they find the body, and they somehow surmise that the small shark.
And then,
shark
like, the most sexist scene of the movie comes up.
They can't let her see because she's
Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid, look at this dead body. Oh, he almost throws up. And then the marine biologist, the one person who can identify what type of attack this is, Dennis Quaid and the paramedic are like, no! Stay back!
As a woman, you can't handle the shock.
Well, then I was like, it was so funny because they're like, stay back, stay back. And she's like, get out of my way, you useless man. I'll take a. Oh my god. I'm like, what message is that?
So, it's a pretty bad one.
So she sees the shark, the bite is like this giant bite, and she figures out that didn't come from the small shark. There's a mama shark out there. So her and Dennis Quaid like go down to like a lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay.
Like this lounge or bar or something. Which. It's underwater, so the big window is out towards the ocean. And so they sit down with Louis Goss Jr. and they're like, there's another shark out there. There's this mama shark. It's huge. It's going to be like 35 feet long, whatever. And then there's like a POV shot from the water, like looking in the glass. And like in slow motion, there's a lot of slow motion this way.
There is.
Like, in slow motion, Dennis Quaid like looks up and points at the glass. He's like, there it is.
he was like, it's right there. It was very like 88 minutes ago. Like, hey, there it is. I found it.
And you just see this giant, like, just rubber, just fakest looking shark ever, just like ram through the glass.
Yes.
Oh, God. Apparently,
does it run ram through the glass?
I don't. It does that later in the movie.
It does that later in the movie. At this point, it swims off. It just really wanted to be like, hey.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
It was peering at them from behind the bush.
And it now goes out after all the other things going on at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
Which this movie has. When it needs radios to work, radios work fine. They can communicate with anybody. When they don't want radios to work, the fastest way to communicate a message at SeaWorld is Dennis Quaid running like
Dennis
a maniac.
Dennis Quaid goes complete Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
When he's driving,
even rips a guy off a motorbike, doesn't he? Like a motorcycle.
Yeah, he just throws a guy down with a thing of popcorn.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like a cart.
It's like a golf cart.
It was just hilarious.
Oh,
like
Mr. Brody, this is just my summer job.
But he's driving it, and he sees a kid in a wheelchair and a stroller.
Yeah,
my brain just stops.
Yeah,
he sees a kid in a stroller. He's like, oh, and he like veers to the right, and he sees like a trolley. And he's like, ah, oh, and he like drives through a bush, and he like flies out of the cart, and it's like, so dramatic.
And then Fitzroyce and his friend go over to a beach where people are swimming. One of the other great moments of like, they're like, get out of the water.
Oh my gosh, this is my favorite part.
And the camera guy, one guy won't get out of the water, and then Fitzroyce's friend like punches a dude who won't stop swimming.
He punches him in the water, and then he helps him up out of the water.
That's the guy who, I want to know that guy's story of that day. He's going to be like, what happened to me?
Why did he punch him and then help him up immediately?
I don't know.
Oh, God. No, God.
Or at least punch him so he falls into the beach and not the water.
Yeah. And we keep seeing, like, there's so many water skiing teams on the water.
I know. There's, like, three layers of water
skiing. Dennis Quaid's just like, get out of the water.
Dennis Quaid's just a maniac trying to get people out of the water. And then they establish, like, a scene later... Lou Gossett Jr. goes on like the PA and is like, I'm sorry folks for the technical difficulties. It's like, just do that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Why is Dennis Quaid running everywhere like ripping people's bullhorns and microphones?
He goes to another SeaWorld. He's like, SeaWorld, wait, he's like, get out of here, give me that microphone. He's like yelling into it, get out of here. People in the crowd.
People are getting punched and thrown from their vehicles.
Is this where the shark hits the tank or the tube and starts flooding it?
Yes.
Okay. So the shark's underwater and it hits the underwater tube where people are down there, like in the tube.
Where tourists are getting like a guided tour from a SeaWorld employee.
Yeah.
And water starts coming in. Yeah, and then emergency doors kind of lock.
Yeah, so they're submerged but not all the way. Yeah. But there's one extra here. If you ever watch the movie again, it's a guy. I just kept thinking Matthew McConaughey. He looks kind of like Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, okay, I know what you mean.
And he's like right in the center of the frame too, and he's just like the whole time he's like looking around like very dramatically, like he's so scared. And later on, like it's been like hours, and they go back to it, and he's still like the same thing. He's like, I don't know.
This was like, because I'm sure all these must have been like not just extras, like they must have been like extras plus, because they're in wardrobe, they're in like, you know, I'm sure they were in hair and makeup. So, and it's like an acting off in there.
No,
like
this guy,
everyone's like trying to one up everybody else, and everyone's like just bringing it like higher and higher and like.
It's doing like the
more.
Opposite of what you want to do if you're an extra.
Exactly. Yeah.
This guy, he just looked like super high or something. I don't know what it was.
I feel like every single person in that chamber was like, "I'm the one stealing the scene."
Well, that guy stole the scene.
He did. Oh. And we should mention Leah Thompson, who we haven't seen in like an hour. Oh, we didn't even mention that she had took Sean Brody on these bumper boats.
Yep.
Where he's really like, I don't want to be out in the water.
We pretty much established that the only way he will go into the water is for sex.
Yes. Pretty much.
There was going to be a bumper boat attack.
Sean Brody keeps getting bumped by this one extra who looks like comic book guy from The Simpsons, who is my other favorite extra in this movie. And he keeps telling me, it's like played for comedy, because he's being like, hey, quit bumping me.
He's like, stop, I'm afraid of the water.
And then somehow she gets bit. She gets, is it on the bumper boats where
no,
she
gets, I thought
she,
it was
knocked, she gets knocked over get knocked by the shark.
Yeah. Oh, there was an attack. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. They get, because Sean or Michael's yelling at them, like, yeah, I got it. And,
yeah.
And
they, oh, that's when the bumper boat over. Scene was. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they start swimming to shore.
Yeah.
And she gets a chunk of her leg bitten off.
Yeah. Huge, but she survives, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. They didn't
we don't really
again.
Know. We see yeah, we don't know for an sure. ambulance. Yeah. We see
might
her
have
and
out.
Sean Brody.
Could have died,
yeah,
they, and they're out of the movie.
She and Sean Brody go into an ambulance, never seen again.
They're out of the movie.
We have no idea what happens. And his storyline of being afraid of the water, his arc, I laughed hysterically at the end of the movie when he didn't come back. So I'm like, his arc was he comes in terrified of the water, stops being terrified of the water, returns to, I should be terrified of the water. That's his whole arc.
Returns to, probably won't ever take a shower again.
Probably not.
Back to Colorado.
And so meanwhile, Dennis Quaid is in some kind of like machine shop figuring out a way to patch.
Yeah, where the hell was this?
I like. Oh, yeah, I don't.
It's like in a factory somewhere. They're like a steel workers.
Yeah, he's in. Like,
I would really like to know if this mill. Is really how SeaWorld is set up, because this looks like it's its own like sustainable community.
Yeah, he's in there. There's like guys like super wealthy. He's like, all right, we're gonna put this patch on to pressurize the tunnel and get these people out. And then his girlfriend's like, hey, I really think we should go to Venezuela. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why?
Everything's gone to hell here. I think we should just go to Venezuela.
People dying, you know, like.
It's kind of reminded me of like The Happening, where it's like everything going on, but the relationship is like the most important.
Right.
And he's like, that's great. The focus of
everything. Yeah, and he takes it totally seriously. Well, like, no, totally valid conversation to be having right now.
Well, to add to the confusion, doesn't he have like some weird like follow-up to that where she's like, I think we should go to Venezuela. And he's like, wait, you're going to Venezuela? And she's like, well, yeah, you're going to Venezuela, right? And it's like,
I don't know.
Isn't Dennis Quaid the one with the job? Like, why isn't Dennis Quaid just saying, good?
Yeah.
Why do they keep asking each other the question?
I still don't know whose job was in Venezuela.
I don't even know why he's going to Venezuela. Like, is that like some step up?
Yeah, they never said, because at one point she's just like, oh, what's wrong? And she's like, did you get a call from Venezuela? And he's like, yeah. And they never says like if it even is a job or he's like, I'll be gone for a year and a half.
Yeah. And we forgot to mention too the goofiest plot point in this movie, which is the shark, the big shark, has been hiding in a ventilation tube.
Is that what it was doing?
Yeah, and I only know one thing about sharks, which is that they cannot swim backwards. But this is prefaced on that a shark wants to go into a ventilation tube and just sit there like a human would go into like a bed and sleep.
They must have done it because from this point on in this movie, whenever you see the shark, like the shark doesn't do anything. Things happen around the shark.
Right.
I don't know if it's just because it's such a bad, you know, animatronic or whatever, but the shark does not move.
No, it's not.
And they literally, the one guy who dies from here out crawls into the shark's mouth, basically.
And lives. It's possible he only dies because of smothering of the shark's tongue, not even the teeth or anything.
Which I laugh because in Jaws 4, everyone like has to fall into the shark's mouth. And this one, I think he just swims in the shark's mouth. Like he's all of a sudden in the shark's mouth.
Well, because Fitzroyce is like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Get him in that tunnel and I'll be down there, me and my grenades.
This is full Australian.
There's not even any English weapon.
We're not even trying anymore. Hey, mate. All right. We're going to get that bugger.
So they're going to get him in this tunnel. Somehow Fitzroyce is going to be the human bait to get him in the tunnel. Then they're going to lock this ventilation tube.
We're going to kill it at our leisure.
Kill it at our leisure.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, leisure, but
you know.
After tea time, we'll
kick up the bobby. And, So Fitzroyce is in there, and the shark's like, okay, I'll follow you into this tunnel. Like, I don't know. Like,
got nothing else to do.
Whatever. You do have a bright wetsuit. Okay. So the shark slowly follows Fitzroyce.
Very slowly.
He's moving slow. The shark is slow. It's just like, and you just watch this for a while. And then the rope that Fitzroyce is pulling on to get to the end of the tunnel breaks, and he basically falls into the shark's mouth.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, the shark comes at him, and then it like cuts away, and then it cuts back, and he's just in the shark's mouth.
Yeah, he's
like full on.
He's Mario Van Peebling it. Yeah, he's alive, but in the shark's like stomach, waving out like at the world.
Yeah,
And the shark just kind of like mashes its mouth until there's some blood, and I guess he's dead.
I get. Yeah.
Where was his friend during all this? The Australian guy.
The other end of the rope, right?
He was doing something.
No, because the rope broke.
No, he was the one because he let the closed the door. He closed the garage door, I guess, on the shark. And then he goes up to the top and he's yelling at the SeaWorld worker. He's like, where's Fitzroy's? And the guy's like, oh, he didn't come up. And he's like,
Fitzroy's! He's like, yeah. Because then he starts yelling, pull the pin! Pull the pin! Because he got the grenade. And earlier on, there was this whole conversation on the pin has to be pulled from a grenade to make it work.
Yeah.
I guess no one knew that in the 80s.
Actually, why didn't Fitzroy's pull the pin when he was alive and
I don't know.
Inside the
shark's mouth? Yeah.
Unless he was still holding out hope that he was going to swim out.
Yeah. He's like, look, I saw Jaws 4. Mario Van Peebles survived. Anything's possible. Yeah.
It would have been awesome if they pulled a full Sharknado and he comes out of the shark with a chainsaw.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Now the shark, which they have the plan, their goofy plan has worked. Now the shark just backs up, goes in reverse, and starts wiggling its tail really violently, which causes the gate that they locked to the metal to bend for the gate to reopen. Is that, am I describing
that
right?
I think it was using its head to butt it, I believe.
But wasn't it backwards? Like, wasn't the head down the, like,
who knows?
I don't know.
Maybe there was enough room for it to do a U-turn.
Maybe. I didn't understand. Somehow the shark opens the gate, which everyone wants, very slowly. This doesn't happen quickly, and everyone, like Louis Gossett Jr. and like the whole USS Enterprise crew were like, oh, wow,
like, oh, look at this. This is an interesting development.
Yeah, what are we going to do now? I think meanwhile, he's going
to
open that.
Dennis Quaid is welding clueless to everything happening.
Because Dennis Quaid is underwater welding the new piece into the tunnels.
Yeah, because his girlfriend goes out. She's like, well, someone's got to watch his back, so I guess. And like Louis Gossett Jr. is like, no, why are you going out? Don't go out. Yeah,
no, stay here with me. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Because someone needs to be the eyes on the back of his head.
Yeah. I did think the underwater welding scene, like the scene wasn't cool, the shot was cool, like I was like, oh wow, that's a pretty cool, you know, like the way they do the underwater welding, I was like, oh, it's pretty good, you know, work by
maybe that's what Dennis Quaid is going to Venezuela for, underwater welding
of oil pipelines.
That's how bad the
oil pipelines, maybe
go into Venezuela for some wet work.
That's how bad the effects are in this movie that you're impressed by the welding effect.
That was the best. That practical effect.
That might be the best welding scene I've ever seen.
Who did that? That guy.
I don't even think
it's
an effect. It may have really been underwater welding.
Yeah,
probably was.
Yeah.
No special effects needed.
So what happened? Is this
the shark breaks through, and then it starts coming for.
Okay. Yeah.
Quaid and
Because the shark breaks through the main window into like the bridge.
Which is the worst.
This is the second slow-mo motion.
Yeah, we have to get like a gif of this because it's like it looks like a paper shark coming like at the screen very slowly.
Yes.
For like 5 seconds, then it cuts back. Everyone in the control room's like ah.
Yeah.
And then it comes back, it's like another like 7 seconds of it just like slowly moving at the screen.
Yeah.
And then it hits the glass and the glass like very, it's, I can't even
3D-ish,
it
like shatters.
Yes.
And you can tell it's like glass that was put in later.
It was like a cartoon.
Yeah. And the shark can't fit into the control room, just his face can come in the window, so it's almost like a Jabberjaw, like, hey guys, like him just kinda like leaning in, like.
Which I didn't get why that one guy, the one control room guy, got eaten.
I don't understand.
It's like, well, how did you get eaten? Like, it can't come all the way in. You just have to swim backwards.
Yeah, you just have to be like, don't go into its
mouth. Well, he swam into
his mouth. I wasn't supposed to go into his mouth. Oh,
he didn't learn
God.
The lesson.
That's the only thing I had to do. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was so, that one guy that got eaten in the control room, it was so clearly a dummy.
Yeah.
You could see like right as it was eating, like the arm was just like completely rigid and like floating.
Yeah. So at some point Dennis Quaid looks in there and he's like, hey look, Fitzroy's in that mouth. I really thought at this point that Fitzroy might still
I thought
be
alive. He was alive too. Yeah. I thought that was going to be like his last thing. Like he looks up and like winks and then pulls the pin.
I thought that's what it really was going to be. Or he was going to like signal to Dennis Quaid, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
But instead, the movie has the climax of so many action films where Dennis Quaid goes fishing for a grenade pin in a shark's mouth. Yes. You know?
You know how that impossible that would be? To make like a hook and get it within the pin to pull it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought they're gonna do a thing like, oh, I can't get it, you know, five or six times, but he's just like, nope, like ooh, you got it.
It's a good thing that rigor mortis set in too, that when he pulled the pin, the hand was steady enough to hold on to the grenade for the pin to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's guts coming at you.
I'm just glad he didn't say "smile, you son of a bitch" like in the end of the first movie.
What's kind of because he is underwater, so it would have been funny if he was like.
They put subtitles down there.
Hey, let's Fitzroy.
This is out of four Jaws movies, in three of them they blow the shark up.
Yeah.
Is that like the only thing they could come up with?
Pretty much, I guess. Yeah.
I guess so.
I mean, what are they electrocuted in Jaws 2, right?
In 2, it's electrocution. In 3, it blows up. And then in 4, it gets impaled by a boat and then inexplicably blows up, as we know.
The boat blows up for reasons. Yeah. Maybe independent of the shark.
There was another problem.
Yeah. And then
bad welding job.
Everybody comes up and the marine biologist is like, what about the dolphins? And I'm like, what about the dolphins? Yeah,
and they start calling the dolphin's name, and then one dolphin shows up, and they're like, we found the one. Where's the other? Where's the other? And then all of a sudden, it jumps in front of the camera, and they're like, yay! And then these two hideous, matted-in dolphins, like statues, like frame the shot of Dennis Quaid and his girlfriend, like backlit by the sunset, going, yeah! And
it's
these
like
two,
still.
These two, like statues, these, it's like they mirror imaged it. These two cheap looking plastic dolphins jump out and it's like, and it like freezes.
Yep.
And that's the end of the movie.
It's very Street
Jack's dolphin
fighter.
Accent is pretty good too. Yeah,
that is a pretty solid dolphin accent.
Yeah, you do a good dolphin and Statham.
Thank you very much.
But this whole thing with like the dolphins, like they're trying to find the dolphins. I'm like, who cares about the dolphins at this point? I'm like,
yeah, who cares? I care. Did like, Leah Thompson live? Like, right. What about Dennis Quaid's brother? Like, no one cares about them.
Right.
I was really most sad when Fitzroy died.
Yeah.
Did Lewis Gossett die?
No.
I don't think so. Though we never really
see.
No,
I think he got out.
I think you see him like kind of make it to the door when the shark busts its head in, you know.
Well, it's just funny because like at the end of the first movie when Richard Dreyfuss comes out of the water and you find out he's alive, it's like, oh good, you're alive. And this one, like the dolphins come up. It's like, like literally fist pump, like,
yeah. Ugh. All right, so I don't have a true so wrong it's right, but I do have some interesting trivia.
Yep.
I read an interview with Richard Matheson, who is credited with a screenplay. He says that he wrote a screenplay, which was then basically thrown out, but had a lot of cool elements in it. And I think my feeling is that there are pieces of the Richard Matheson storyline, but that everything good about
SeaWorld
it
was in his version.
Well, he did say he did not want to include the Brody brothers. He thought that was the studio insisted
is
on
this,
that.
Well, they, yeah, they, is this the Jaws 3 People Zero script?
Well, I was also going to say the other script that they did was they did an Animal House's Jaws 3 People Zero that was going to be a spoof of the previous two Jaws movies and Universal. They did a script which apparently a lot of people thought was really funny and Universal shot it down, which is too bad.
But I mean, like halfway through this movie, I was thinking, I'm like, why does it have to be the Brody brothers? Cause it's not like the shark was. It's not like Jaws 4 where it's like the shark is.
When there's really not.
Well, there's no real reason why to bring the Brodies back in part two.
Yeah, I mean, the Brodies don't really have a scene together after, I'm trying to think, like, they really, after the first 30 minutes, aren't even in the same shot.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
because if it's like, you know, if it's Roy Scheider, then it's like, okay, it's a character from the first movie, but it's his kids, like, I don't care about the kids from the first movie. Like, I never thought, watching that movie, like, I wonder what they're going to grow up to do.
When apparently Roy Scheider not only didn't want to do this movie, but intentionally booked Blue Thunder so he couldn't even get strong-armed into being in this movie. And, like, they set up Blue Thunder for the same shooting schedule to be like, just, no, I'm committed. Like, I can't be in this movie.
Yeah.
Before we do Is It So Bad It's Good, I just want to read a quote from Dennis Quaid, he's speaking about this time in his life. He's not speaking about this movie specifically, but he's talking about the early 80s, and I think this might explain a lot of his performance in the film. Says Dennis Quaid, quote, I'd wake up, snort a line, and swear I wasn't going to do it again that day. But then 4 o'clock rolled around and I'd be back down the same road like a little squirrel on one of those treadmills. Referencing his overwhelming cocaine habit at the time.
Wow.
And I feel like that's what we were seeing, the coke sweats.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where those pit stains came from. Yeah.
I wonder if he was hanging out with Stephen King in that period of time.
Yeah, Stephen King and Dennis Quaid should have worked together on a film in the early 80s.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's do our So Wrong It's... Is it so bad it's good? Cody, we'll start with you.
I would say yes. Just I laughed a lot. Especially just how bad that shark looks. It's worth it. For me, it's worth it to see how bad that shark looks. I love that one extra.
Yeah.
And it might be the worst ending I've seen in any of the movies that we've done. Like, not just the last, scene, but the last act was just so boring and dumb and just didn't make any sense. It was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But it made it so bad it's good for me.
Yeah.
Brian. Yeah, I would definitely watch this again. I was laughing out loud, which I usually don't in these bits. Usually I'm just kind of like, when it's another scene. But this one I was actually looking forward to each scene because it got progressively worse and worse.
Yeah.
There are moments where it drags. There really, really are. But I think it's got a charm to it. It's so bad it's good.
I think so too. I laughed I laughed consistently all the way through it too. It's so ridiculous and so... It's so dumb and yet so complicated. You know.
It does get... Some of the plans get really complicated. And another thing, I can't watch... For some reason, movies, as soon as a scene starts taking place underwater, I can't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
That's why Thunderball is one of my least favorite James Bond movies, because there's so much underwater stuff.
Yeah.
So whenever they're doing underwater stuff in the movie, I literally had no idea what was going on, except I can't pay attention to this.
Well, it's too bad. We'll never be... Thunderball's not bad enough for us to do it on this podcast, but it is Thunderball is pretty shaky. They're so impressed. You can tell when they're making Thunderball, they're like, we're underwater.
Yeah, right.
They overdo it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so amazed by this camera went under the water.
Everyone. There's just too much underwater stuff in this movie, but...
Yeah.
It has to be. It's a Jaws movie.
Yeah. No, but I mean, there's not that much underwater stuff in Jaws.
But it doesn't have a lot of it doesn't have a lot of the themes you'd expect in a Jaws movie. You know, swimmers at the beach... getting eaten by a shark. That just doesn't happen. It's shark this futuristic type. Sea world and this crap about dolphins and do we kill it on camera or do we keep it?
Why did the shark go to SeaWorld, by the way? Is there any
It's the Brody curse from Shark from Jaws 4.
Because it wasn't after the Brodies or anything.
They're planting that seed.
I don't know. Actually, even
Jaws... But Jaws 4 ignores this one, though, so...
Yeah, that's true.
What even Jaws 4 kind of makes more, it kind of lines up more of why the shark is there. Yeah,
it doesn't make sense, but
this doesn't even try to answer the question. It's
just there's been a shark in the
Or are we supposed to assume also after this that this SeaWorld is closing?
I would hope so.
They welded that tunnel back up so they could open.
That's true. The things that basically if you went to SeaWorld that day, you saw a shark die in front of your eyes.
Yep.
You saw a severed human head floating at the bar lounge.
Yep. You saw a performer have her leg partially eaten off by a shark.
Yeah, and multiple other people eaten in the water at the beach.
Yes.
You saw a maniacal employee, Dennis Quaid, running around just terrorizing shoving the
people
park.
And shouting at people. Yeah. If you were down in that underwater section, you saw a shark ram the tube. You were trapped in standing water up to your waist for hours.
Yeah. You saw an Australian guy knock out a beach goer.
Yeah. You saw some random foreigner knock out a guy at the beach and then help him up.
it's nothing free drinks won't fix, though.
Yeah. What was SeaWorld doing?
That's the story for the news. We completely forgot to talk about the second press conference scene. They find the dead body and everything, and the spokesperson is like, listen, guys, all I know is that one of our employees is missing and about 30 people in the park are trapped underwater. Give me a break, guys. That's all I know.
When I learn more, you'll know about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I would think. The media does seem pretty interested, luckily. It speaks well to the press
media
coverage.
Is the most docile media out there. They get all this information and they're going to follow up and he's like, give me a break, guys. All right.
Wouldn't it have been great at the end of that second press conference if you heard Mac what about free drinks?
Where are our drinks?
That's why we're all here.
Yeah. All right, let's do, in lieu of anything else, let's do stuff we do like. Anything you guys want to plug this week? Anything that's good out there that you think people actually should be enjoying?
Recently.
Really? You have nothing that you'd want to pitch to people? Just the concept of James Bond, maybe? Or
yes, watch some James Bond movies.
Watch some James Bond. Jack, what about
always,
you?
Yeah, I always go back to Bond in a Bond year. When a Bond movie is released, I always revisit at least my favorites.
My plug is going to be watch that Spectre trailer, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah. I think it's a pretty cool trailer, and I'm pretty excited for it.
I'm trying to think. There was a trailer I saw recently for something coming up that I thought was really cool. I can't remember what it was, though. That's not a great plug.
I was going to say...
But you said trailer, and I'm like...
We'll just say it was Star Wars.
I've heard there's behind-the-scenes disaster on the set of the new Fantastic Four movie, so that might be a contender for a future... podcast. Unless they pull it together, really bad, like director like walking and doing reshoots that just ended this month.
Did you see the trailer that played before Fury Road, Brian, for Fantastic Four? It didn't look good.
They just finished reshoots now, I guess, and the director, they fired the director.
I don't think it looks very good.
Yeah.
At least this is what I heard.
Michael B. Jordan. I liked Michael B. Jordan, and the only stuff in the trailer that I enjoyed was the Michael B. Jordan stuff. I didn't.
I just don't get why they're remaking it. It's like, I don't think anyone's clamoring.
They got to hold on to it. It's Fox. So Fox doesn't make a movie, the rights revert back to Marvel, which means the rights revert back to Disney. Oh,
that's what I'm going
to
plug,
So they have to continually make these movies so they can keep the rights. At least they feel they have to.
If you want
to
read a funny article, Google how Marvel is removing X-Men and the Fantastic Four from merchandising. There are some very funny
pictures.
There's
a moratorium. They're not even including New Mutants in their comic books right now.
When they're taking them out of... like t-shirts printed of classic Marvel images.
Really?
They're removing the X-Men and Fantastic Four because they don't want to be marketing those characters. Right. Very funny article. I really recommend it.
I also want to campaign for our next movie to be San Andreas. Because that is fantastically bad.
Oh, you saw it? Is it bad? Okay.
Yes.
I think my cousin saw it and she liked it, but...
It's entertaining as hell, but it's really bad.
We we're really going to tempt fate because we are going to do Jupiter Ascending coming up soon, too. So often we pitch a movie, we don't do it, but we will be Jupiter Ascending. We'll do it.
I've been waiting for that for a while.
Sure yeah. That one looks like a lot of fun. Yes. All right, but we'll wind this epic up. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Windup Films, our fantastical Facebook page, which has hilarious pictures, hand-selected. Artisanally selected by Jack Estabrook.
Artisanally.
Yeah.
Selected.
Locally sourced. And
it's organic.
Yeah. Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out on Facebook. I think that's it. All right. Does that bring this one to a close? All right. See you next time.